Guests on the Ron Van Dam Show are compensated for their appearance with an autographed photo of Ron, a leftover copy of that wedding book he wrote, an IOU for $10, and several expired coupons from a local pizza place. And no, nobody told them this ahead of time. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure, why not?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me, I'm really not in the mood for this. Make yourself comfortable. I will take it upon myself to entertain you for the next 30 minutes. Also to inform you, also to drive you nuts. It's my job. It's what I do. I don't know who you are because I can't see you, but at the same time, I don't really care. We are forming a relationship by virtue of the fact that we all complain about the same stuff. And that's how we get along as a society in this crazy world that we call Earth. All right. I don't know either. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible, because every once in a while, I really want to do that. First is John Shanahan. He's the announcer, comedy writer, does many of the funny bits on this program. He's a genius. Let's face it. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Nicole Reed. Nicole. She's a British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She books some of the national interviews that we do that I'm incapable of doing, quite honestly. Nicole Reed, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Shaw. Oh my God, Jason Shaw. He composed, performs the opening and closing theme. He's a guy that I know really can stand up on his 2 feet without even shifting his weight. And then there's you. Without you, I'd probably do this anyway, so it's actually not that important. But still, thank you for being a member of this program and for supporting public television. Wait a minute. I do ask you to follow, subscribe, like, if you happen to be doing this listening on some type of a platform like Amazon Music or Podbean or whatever you listen to, Stitcher, SoundCloud, SoundSimes, TimeStamps, Mother's Bank, Pandora, whatever, you know, anyway, do that. If you're listening to us on one of those syndicated radio stations, then that's nice, but good for you. And that should do it for my opening babble for today. I know. Don't even say it. Don't even say it. I know. You don't even have to talk. I know what you're thinking, and that's the pathetic part of this whole thing. Anyway, thanks for being here. How are you? Let's have a good time, shall we? I'm constantly amazed at our English language. I'm also amazed at the Chinese language and the Greek alphabet. I'm amazed at all these things. I think it's an interesting thing, the way that we speak. In the older days, we had phrases that we used all the time when we talked, and it was really stupid. If you watch some of those movies from like the 1950s or 60s or something like that, or listen to those old-time radio shows, do that every once in a while, because it puts you back in a time of history when people were entertained simply by listening to things. Case in point, this program. Yeah, people used to just listen to the radio. There was nothing to watch. You just stared at the radio, and in your mind, you would conjure up these images of what they were talking about. That's supposed to be like a good exercise for your brain. No more exercise for your brain. Everything is splashed in front of you in HD, high definition, 4K, 5K, 72K, all that kind of stuff. Nothing is left to the imagination at all. Nothing. Zilch. what a lazy brain death thing that is. Yeah, there was a time in our history when we were entertained, we had to conjure up various things in our head. It was fantastic. I wasn't around much then, or at all, but I heard about it. But back then, they used to say some strange things. Like when they would tap somebody on the shoulder and ask them the question, they would say, well, they would use the word say first. They'd tap the person on the shoulder, and then it was, say, how are you doing today? Say, what are you going to be doing later on? Say, what's that on your nose? Everything started with say for some reason, and I don't know why, and I don't think they did either. We have our own sayings that we use today that make no sense whatsoever, but we use them. I don't. You do. I'm above that. Please, give me a break. By the way, before I get into that, you know what really bonds us as a society? And right now, I have allergies for no reason whatsoever. You have that too, don't you? Your nose runs every once in a while. For no reason, it just does. Where does all this liquid come from? Is there a manufacturing plant inside of my body that's producing this stuff that comes out of my nose every once in a while? Ron, that's really disgusting. I know, but that's what the show is about. Things that bond us that we don't talk about. We all have these little allergies. You don't have to have allergies to have allergies to make your nose run. It's interesting. We bond. We are all the same. Okay. Anyway. I should have a giant sign made up that says, shut up. And it's for me. But it doesn't. That wouldn't be a good radio show if I just decided every once in a while, Ron, you're just like saying ridiculous stuff. Just shut up, will you? That would be awful. Then I couldn't talk and I couldn't do the show. So why don't you just tell me to shut up?
Shut up!
How about you, sir? How about you? You want to tell me to shut up?
Shut up!
All right. You feel better now? Okay. All right, now here's what some people say when they're talking to me, and I don't know why they're saying it. First of all, they'll be talking about the driving or something like that. You know, there are too many cars on the road. Am I wrong? Why did you say, am I wrong? I didn't challenge you. I didn't say you were wrong. I'm going to have tuna fish for dinner, but I have tuna fish for dinner every night. Am I wrong? No, it's true. You do have tuna fish for dinner every night. I'm sorry. I didn't even start an argument with you. I didn't accuse you of anything. You know, my wife came home and she asked me to clean the house, and I worked all day, and I told her I'm not doing it. Am I wrong? Yes, you are. You're constantly wrong, by the way. If you do it, you can pretty much be assured that you're doing it wrong. I walk into the supermarket and I bought some stuff, and the guy in front of me is taking all day. Am I wrong? No, I guess not. You're not wrong. The guy maybe in the supermarket is, but you're not wrong. No. Stop asking me if you're wrong. You got some kind of complex about yourself that you think nothing you do is right? Then there's the people that who say, you know, Ron, I've been talking to you for years, and I got to be honest, I don't know if that's all that fascinating. Well, you have to be honest? You mean all the other times you were lying to me? You know, we hired you to mow our lawn, but the lawn looks horrible, and I got to be honest, I'm looking for another maintenance guy for my lawn.
What? No, don't be honest. Don't be honest.
So if you start sentences or say in the sentence, look, I got to be honest, that means that all the other times you were lying to my face. All the other times I was just being nice to you, I was lying to you, but right now I got to be honest.
Wow. That's not good.
Sometimes they'll actually like really turn it around to the point where they're like really saying what they mean. You know, I can't lie. I don't like your face.
You liked it before, but you couldn't be honest about that? You were lying?
I can't lie.
Yes, you can. You've been doing it all the time, apparently.
I gotta be honest.
Well, then don't be.
Then there's the people that talk and question as if they're only talking to themselves, and you kind of don't matter if you're there or not. They're actually having conversations with themselves. Yeah, I went on a cruise last week. Was it last week? Well, I don't know. You're telling a story. I don't know when you went on a cruise. They start questioning themselves in order to help them along. It's kind of strange. I ate a donut this morning. Was it a donut? Was it a donut? Anybody? Was it a donut? Anybody? Anybody here?
Wow, that's an annoying thing to do.
Whenever people do that, I say, hey, look, I'm out of here. You're obviously just talking to yourself, asking yourself questions and answering them. I have no purpose here. Then you're asking me questions about you that I don't even know. I don't know the answer to what you did. I spent 5 hours working on my kids' homework with them.
Was it 5 hours?
That was three. It was 3 hours.
Was it 3 hours?
I think it was four. I think it was four.
Was it 4 hours?
Stop questioning yourself. God.
I went to a temple yesterday because it was the high holy days in my religion.
Am I Jewish? Am I Jewish?
My grandfather used to do this. my grandfather was perfectly okay. I mean, he wasn't senile or anything. And he would say to my grandmother, they would go out to dinner, and we'd sit down at a table. You know, it was a family thing. He would take us out to dinner every once in a while. And we'd sit down at the table, and my grandfather would look at the menu and say, "Oof, wow, they have a lamb stew." And then he'd turn to his wife and say, "Do I like lamb?" And she would say, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Charlie." Okay, I think I'll have the lamb stew. Do I like stew?
Why? I think he was just trying to involve other people in conversation because nobody's that vapid.
Nice guy. And I don't think he was losing it. I think he just wanted his wife to participate in his stuff. That's all. Oh, look, dear, they have a strawberry shortcake.
Do I like strawberries?
You don't know. You don't know what you like and what you don't like. You have to ask your wife. What is that about? But one of the most annoying phrases of our time is when a guy will have a smile on his face. He'll come up to you and say, "Guess what? I've got some news."
"What is it?"
"We're pregnant." Okay, first of all, we're not pregnant. Secondly, you can't be pregnant. You don't deliver babies. Maybe your wife is pregnant, but you are not. And what they're trying to do is be as if they were one. You know, well, if my wife is pregnant, then I'm pregnant. Now, you've got to look up the definition of the word pregnant. It means that you are with child in your own body. There is a thing growing in your body that is hopefully of a human form. That person who is sporting that human form at this time in a fetus way is the person that is pregnant. You are not pregnant.
"Yes, but my wife is pregnant, and when my wife is pregnant, then I am pregnant."
No. You could say, well, it's just stupid anyway. If your wife had a headache, would you say, "We have a headache"? Is that the royal we there? Are we doing like a medieval thing here? What? Why are you doing the we? I don't like that. I mean, it's men are trying to be overly sensitive to their coupleship in a relationship. It just comes out really awkwardly stupid. There used to be the phrase that if a woman was pregnant, oh, this is horrible, don't ever say this to a woman. Oh, looks like you got something in the oven.
What?
Yeah, you got a little something in the oven there, I see.
What oven? I don't see an oven.
I mean, I'm saying that you look pregnant.
You say that I have a child in the oven?
No, that's not what I meant. I meant that you're pregnant, so you have something in the oven. It's a phrase.
What? Why would I have my child in the oven? That's awful. Are you going to call Child Protective Services? Because I have the only thing I have in the oven is cookies. And even that, I don't really bake.
Do you ever make the mistake of walking up to a person, a lady who looked like she was pregnant? She has that little bulge in the lower stomach area. And you say, well, congratulations.
For what?
Well, you're pregnant, right?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Don't do that. The best thing in life, learn the lesson that I learned, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Just shut up. Just shut up.
When you shut up, you can't say anything wrong. You meld into society really well because you're not making an asshole out of yourself. But you're not melding because you're not participating. So what do?
Shut up! Shut up!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When in doubt, shut up. Ooh, great t-shirt. Maybe not. Yeah, I mean, if you're in deep conversation with somebody and you're getting a little animated or you're having some wine, eventually one of the two people is going to say something that is going to be offensive when they thought they were just being humorous or, I gotta be honest. If someone looks at you and says, I gotta be honest, run. Run the other way. What's coming next is not going to be great. When your spouse comes to you, or your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, whatever the case may be in your crazy mixed up world, when they come to you and say, we got to have a talk.
Oh no, not the talk.
You're not going to talk about the birds and the bees, are you? You're going to actually have a talk with me because, to be honest with me, something's wrong with me, right? Is that what that means? You've got to be doing something wrong, horribly wrong. You know, later on, we have to have a talk. Uh-oh, teacher's calling me into the office to chastise me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Okay, have a guest coming up momentarily. Yeah, I think you're going to be fascinated by this one. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Have you been injured in an auto accident? Have you thought about maybe getting injured in an auto accident? Every day, hundreds of people around the country win very profitable lawsuits for the injuries they've suffered in auto accidents. But it's not always easy to find an auto accident to be involved in that you yourself didn't cause. That's where I come in. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, a.k.a. Crash Boom Jimmy. I can not only represent you in your injury lawsuit case, but I can help you arrange and be involved in the very accident for which you're seeking to collect. After years on the job, I know a guy who knows a guy who probably knows a guy who can thoughtfully arrange your accident to the degree you want, from gentle fender bender to near-death experience. And if you do happen to die in your accident, there is no cost to you for my services. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, call me now at 555-CRASH-BOOM for your free consultation, probably somewhere down near the docks with around a lot of cameras, or maybe in the back room of my cousin Lorenzo's restaurant. They make such a good brujol, you can't believe it. 555-CRASH-BOOM, call me today, because with Jimmy LaGuardia, winning your lawsuit is no accident.
Carol Chang joins us now. She's an occupational therapist, aging in place, and age tech expert. And we're talking about easy and affordable and safe tips on how to prepare your home for aging in place. You know, you kind of don't have to be aging these days to prepare your home for just now. It's, a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, one of the misnomers is really that aging in place is for older adults aging, right? Yeah. If you look at universal design, it is making life easy for everyone to live in.
There's no, you know, I have friends that are in their 30s and 40s, and they have some, you know, they hurt their back or something happens, and then all of a sudden they're in the same kind of ballpark that an aging person would be later on in life.
100%. This is what I tell people, that, you know, just think about the times that you tried to push your toddler into the house with a stroller and it didn't work, and your grandma wanted to visit and she couldn't get in there. Mm-hmm. You know, there, it's about visitability. It's about that whole age range as well. And it's an investment, right? And you're in, like, looking at different ideas, your time to research and check it out. So,
yeah. I've noticed that bathrooms have taken a turn toward not only luxury, but that also transcends into safety.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Well, you know, those are the two most common areas of falls, bedrooms and bathrooms. Uh-huh. So that's why you're seeing such a resurgence. Plus, people like to invest in their bathroom. They want to make it beautiful. They want to, you know, feel comfortable there, and, you know, and they also want to feel safe. And one of the biggest problems with older adults is that they are afraid to fall.
Yeah.
Or if it's cold, they get, you know, you lose your fat as you get older. Yeah. And so I get sometimes patients who just don't want to take a shower. And then now you're leading to, you know, hygiene problems and, you know, urinary tract infections that can lead to falls and, you know, change in mental status. So, yeah, it's bathroom safety products are the easiest way to get into starting to think about what you want for aging in place.
Yeah, I've also noticed full showers. And then if you have a tub, it's separate. This one unit shower and tub thing is kind of going away a little bit, as far as I see.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens is that it's easier to manage if you have two separate ones. It's about cleaning. You know, aging in place has a lot to do with maintenance. You know, you just don't want to have to deal with anything anymore. That's why, you know, one of my favorite kind of tricks for this is to always get like 2-in-1s and 3-in-1 combos. So, you know, like grab bars that are also towel bars or like bidets. This Bemis makes like a really great 3-in-1 combo, where it's like a bidet, a raised toilet seat, and with armrests. So you're not trying to buy like all these different things in different places.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about that. I'm going to ask you something a little bit off the beaten path here. I've noticed that a lot of people are steering away from these three-floor houses and things and looking for ranches because they hate stairs. All of a sudden, everybody hates stairs. And yet they don't build a lot of houses that are ranches. There's, because I guess economically it's less expensive to build up than out.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And, you know, it's Florida, so you would think that everything would be, for me here in Florida, everything would be one level. But when I talk to builders, you know, they need to squeeze as much dollars out of each piece of land. Yeah. And so it makes it tricky. So you really have to do your research about, you know, what is the cost of these things and the pros and cons, because, you know, having those stairs in your house, now you have to budget in for things like a potential stair lift, installing an elevator later, plus the yearly maintenance. Yeah. So there's a lot of these hidden costs that people aren't thinking about if they're saving money buying like a 2-story house versus the 1-story, which currently looks more expensive, like on purchase price, but actually long term it's not.
Yeah. I guess the bottom line is that when you get older, you tend to, you know, you want to stay in your home. I mean, that's where you're happier. It's kind of, you know, you're comfortable there. So people are pretty much, you know, you got to set your home up for the future, because that might be where you're going to be.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole thing about aging in place, right? It's just this purposeful decision to get older in your home.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to, but you have to remember, like, you're not the same person that's going to live in that home 20 years from now. You're going to change, and it's natural, right? Natural aging. That's going to change you. You'll lose, you know, 2 pounds of muscle every year after 35. So, you know, do the math, right? By the time that you're 80 something, you may not want to be doing those stairs anymore. You know, you're fighting an uphill battle like that.
Right. Yeah. And putting handles into bathroom walls and you know, good sturdy handrails. I mean, that's something that you can do at any age, and any age will help you do that. People fall when they're 20.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I have friends who have toddlers with those slippery bathrooms where you see they're jumping up and down, and you know, you're trying to rinse them off, and there's soap everywhere, right? So, you know, those guys. My kids, anyway, have gotten used to the idea of, okay, you, before we rinse, you're going to hold on to the grab bar so that I know that you're stable and you've got something to hold on to, because, you know, you don't want to have to rush to the ER to take your kid in for a brain scan because they fell. But absolutely, I really think about grab bars and all this bathroom safety stuff. They are safety stuff. They're just like seatbelts in a car. You know, like, why would you... If you knew that it was going to decrease your risk of injury and it's not a big deal to have them there, why wouldn't you do it? But I think that there's just too much of a stigma right now with thinking, oh, that's for old people. But man, you know, there are so many beautiful options out there that people are really missing out for opportunities if they're not looking.
Yeah. Well, you make life easier in every other category. Why not make it easier physically too in your home? I forgot about that, right?
Well, people just haven't realized, right? This is—they're used to the idea of, when I get older, I'm going to move to a retirement community, and I don't need to invest in my house. But there has been a huge shift towards, you know, wanting to stay at home, and care at home through hospitals also is a big thing these days. So you need your environment to be as easy as possible, risk free, and conducive to what your goals are.
So how do you come together with a plan, both financially and otherwise? I mean, how do you do something like that?
Well, you know, you can't know how much you're going to need financially later in life if you don't know what the options are. Mm-hmm. So I tell everybody, you got to start with research. Start with research, find out like what is available in your neighborhood, or even just like what are my particular problems that would be difficult. So like if I have arthritic knees and it's hard for me to get up and down, raise toilet seats, right? Like that's an easy win. Why are you suffering every single day when you could easily buy something to just like fix that? And so that kind of brings me to the idea that like, start slow. People have a tough time thinking, I'm going to, you know, demolish my whole bathroom and start all over. And it sounds like a whole lot of money, which it is because, you know, of labor costs and lumber costs, right? It's a lot more money these days. So how can I do this in a small way? What are these small changes that can show me the light and kind of open the door, crack it open and see what are these little things? So start with those like plug-in motion lights, you know, so that you can light up the path, start with like raise the toilet seats, you know?
Yeah. So whenever you're going to do a remodel or a repair, might as well, if you're going to get it fixed or do it again, might as well go in that direction while you're making the change.
100%. Listen, it's way cheaper to put in blocking for the walls when the walls are down. It's cheap. Yeah. But when you have to do that after, imagine you've got to rip down the tile, rip down the things. It costs so much money. Yeah. And think about that construction like hassle. It plan ahead, and then it saves you a lot of headache, time, money, energy.
Yeah. Comes under the general category of think smart, I guess.
Let's be efficient. That's what I tell people.
Okay. Buy, even better.
You know, but when you buy your first house, you should think about aging in place, because then you're actively looking at what are your unique ways of living in your personal spaces and kind of try it and see if you like that. See if that's your style. It's not for everybody. Yeah. You and I don't live in our houses the same way. Some people love walk-in tubs. Some people hate them. Yeah, hate them.
That's true. People are different. I've learned that. Okay. Where do I go for information and some guidance here?
Yeah. So my website's evolvinghomes.com. I have a free resource page there, lots of checklists, webinars you can watch. If you want to check out this really streamlined version of the raised toilet seat with everything in there, it's toiletseats.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a really great, they offer a lot of like really good educational content. So I think they have a mailing list there that you can also sign up for. So I'd encourage people to do research like that, read up online, you know, look and see what are the options. And then, you know, is that for me or not? And how much does it cost? So if you can answer those questions, you're already starting down the road of being able to, you know, plan for what you're going to do.
Perfect. I do a lot of interviews. Some of them make no sense. This one makes all the sense in the world. So thanks.
Good. Thanks for I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks, Carol. One more time, your website, please.
Yes, evolvinghomes.com.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
You too.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, oh my God, I wish you peace.